Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, and we will read in your hearing verses 13 down through 16. I want to thank Pastor James. I don't know where he went, but grabbed that mic with confidence and read that scripture for us. 1 John chapter 5, we'll read beginning with verse 13 down through verse 15. It's not on the screen, so please grab a pew Bible or lean over with someone nearby. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 down to 15, and it reads, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Verse 14. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will," what happens? "He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." Turn to your neighbor and say, "He heard you. He heard you." Let us pray. Lord, be with us now as we consider thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Life is hard. Do I have any witnesses in the house this morning? Life is hard. And it isn't always fair. You know, these few short words, they capture so much of the human experience. Life is hard. And so much of it is not fair. As we live, you see, we have good days. Praise God for the good days that he blesses us and allows us to experience. But then there are those days when it seems as though everything that can go wrong does go wrong. You struggle and work with all your might to take three steps forward in the right direction, and then the wave of life hits you and knocks you back three steps. Days when you give of yourself and you give and you give and people just take and take and take some more. There are those days when you say to yourself, "If I can only just hold it together until I get home." You know, the worst place where you can lose it is at work. The worst place you can lose it is in public. And so there are those days when you say, "If I could just hold back my emotion. Hold back the tears, hold back the hurt, the frustration, just until I can get home." I was having a conversation with someone a few months back, and there was an exchange that was going on, and the person said something so critical and so mean that it caught me off guard. And my eyes began to fill with tears. I said, "If I just hold it till I get home." Tears of anger, tears of hurt, tears of wanting to respond in that moment. If we could just hold it till we get home. Days when stress overwhelms us. Days when worry about the future spirals out of control inside of our minds. Or even worse, when something or someone comes along and they trigger those issues of the past. How many of you know we all have issues? Something in life will happen to trigger those issues of the past, and all of the emotions that you've worked so hard to manage and to suppress start to come up to the surface again. And it seems as though in life, when you need someone the most, there's no one around who understands. You pick up your phone and you scroll through and you ask yourself, "Who can I share these experiences with? Who can I trust my feelings with?" Every day I see on Facebook, you see it as well, people who are pouring out their hearts in search of someone to connect to. And more often than not, no one replies to their cry. But I'm so glad this morning to tell someone, this message is not for everyone, but to tell someone in here that God hears you. You know, we often don't pray effectively because we think that there's no one on the other side of the line. There's no one on the other end of the line. But I submit to you that in order to make it in this messed up life. In order to be effective in our prayer lives, we must know that every time we pick up that phone, God is on the other end of the line. Do you have any witnesses in the house this morning? Before the conversation begins, I remember we would pick up the phone to make a call and somebody would say, hello. And you say, I the phone didn't ring. I didn't dial anyone. Before we even begin the conversation with God, God's voice is on the other line saying, hello. Whether you are right or whether you are wrong, whether you're feeling weak in that moment or whether you are feeling strong, no matter where you are, God is listening. Jesus is listening to us when we pray. That scripture says that this is the, what's that C word on there? This is the confidence we have. That if we as God's children ask anything according to His will, the Bible says that He hears us. In verse 13, we read in the previous verse that all who have accepted Christ as our Savior have eternal life. Do you know this morning that if you have accepted Christ, you have eternal life? You know, for too long, the enemy, he has God's children going around guessing and hoping and wishing that they will be saved. You see, the enemy is crafty. He could not stop Jesus from coming down to earth. He couldn't stop the plan of Christ from giving himself, giving his life on the cross. He could not stop God from offering us the gift of salvation. And so what he does is work with all of his might to get God's children to doubt that we have it. To live fearful that if we make one wrong move, we blew it. If we fall into temptation, that we've committed that unpardonable sin. But the Bible reads that through grace, somebody say grace, we have been saved through faith, not of ourselves, not of our diet, not of anything that we do. It is a gift of God. God is not schizophrenic where you're inside heaven one day, then you mess up and you're outside of heaven the same day. Inside of heaven, outside of heaven, bouncing back and forth. God is not like that. He said, my grace has covered you, and if you accept my free gift, you have eternal life. If we accept this gift of Jesus on the cross, we are saved. And that in Christ we are new creations. And it is God who takes the responsibility. If God waited for us, it would never happen. God is the one who takes initiative and personal responsibility for the sanctification process in our lives. God's word declares, he who has begun a good work is faithful to complete that work. And it is because of this right relationship that we as children of God have been given permission. God has given us permission to approach his throne of grace boldly and to come confidently to him in those times when we need his help. God said, don't come to me timidly. Don't come to me wishy-washy, thinking this and flowing with every little wind of the wave, but come to me confident that you have my attention and that you as my child have the audience of all of heaven at your disposal. We must know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we can get in touch with God any time, day or night. Any place where we may be, because God is interested in us. God cares about us. You know, Obama is probably very difficult to get in touch with President Barack Obama. But little Sasha and Malia have permission to call their father when they need him. And in the same way, yes, God is ruling the universe, but as his adopted children, as his called out children, he's given us permission to reach out to him on his private line whenever we need some mercy and some grace.
That's the word, preacher.
That psalmist declares, where can I go from your presence? If I go into the heavens, you are there with me. If I make my bed in hell, you are there with me. Some of us have laid our mattresses and our comforters in the bed of hell.
Come on now, preacher.
But God says, even there, I am with you.
Yes, yes.
Jonah was in the belly. I'm not sure what's going on. If you go to the next slide, Jonah was in the belly of the whale, running away from his call, running away from his mission, disobedient to Christ. And the Bible says when he called and cried out to God, that God heard him. Wherever you are in your life's journey, in your life situation, if you but whisper the name of Jesus, he is listening to you. That's the kind of confidence that we must have in him.
That's the word.
You know, the truth is we've been so beaten down in life. We've been so abused. We've been so mistreated. We've been called out of our names that we feel in our inadequacy, that we have not earned the right to talk to a holy God. We've been ignored by bosses and disrespected by others for so long that we think there's nothing in us that would cause God to want to hear what we have to say. When we add up the good in our lives and weigh it against all that we have done wrong, we say there's no way that God hears us. You know, growing up, I was taught that to have things right in your life, you have to have things right in your life in order for God to hear you. I would go to my mom and I would talk to her. She'd say, Mom can't hear you as long as you're disobedient. You got to have things in order. You must have the shelves inside of your spirit neatly and dusted off in order for God to hear you. But that is not what the word of God says. God says, you are my child. God says, you can't convince me to love you anymore. You can't convince me to listen to you. I love you. With an everlasting love. And I, your God and your Father, I hear you.
Yes.
If the Lord did not hear the prayers of sinners, the thief on the cross would not have been saved. If God didn't hear the prayers of sinners, none of your prayers in your life ever would have been answered.
That's the word.
And I submit to you that the confidence is as important as the asking itself.
Amen.
The confidence gives us the faith to know that we have permission, granted authority to walk directly to the throne of God to find grace and help in the time of need. Who says amen to God's word?
Amen.
Reading further in that scripture in 1 John, the Bible says, if we ask anything, somebody say anything.
Amen.
According to his will. Now in wisdom, Paul put that in there. According to his will. You see, to pray God's will is to pray his word. I heard one preacher say that no will of God is in contradiction to his word. Some people believe that anything means anything, but God knows us better than that. He knows that there are times when we pray out some dumb thing. We all pray sometimes some dumb things. Lord, he cut me off. Let him have an accident on his ride home today. Lord, he is so fine. If you please just bless me with him. God's on the throne saying, he's crazy. You don't want him, sister. He's crazy. One of the prophets in his discouragement, he cried out, Lord, just let me die. And so those fleshly, carnally motivated things, God won't promise that. But he will give to us that which is best for us.
Amen.
That which is according to his will. You know, there are a lot of people that get caught up in the particulars of how to pray. In seminary, we study book after book, methods and formulas on how to pray. But God says, come to me boldly. And he says, just ask. It's not, in my mind, so much how you come. You just come to him sincerely and boldly. What matters most is that he is listening. Many of us have forgotten in our prayers and in the struggles of life that God is able. Do you know that God is able? Yeah. Has the enemy caused the journey of your life to be so discouraged that you forget to remind yourself that God is able? Many of us have stopped asking for those dreams. We've stopped asking for those miracles, for the big things, because we forgot that God, forgotten that God is able. The Bible says his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. His arm is not short that he cannot reach us. And he hears us. You remember in scripture, the Bible, they came down on their way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord declares to Abraham again that you will have a son. How many of you remember that story? And the Bible says that Sarah was listening behind the curtain. And as God delivered that prophetic word to her, the Bible says that Sarah laughed within herself. Which lets us know she didn't laugh audibly, but she more than likely laughed inside of her mind. And God replied, why did you laugh? She's so shocked that God heard her that she lied. I didn't laugh. that wasn't me. I didn't laugh. God said, you did laugh. I heard you. He can hear our thoughts a while off. While we're putting our thoughts together, he says, I hear you. As you're phrasing them in your mind, the Holy Spirit is gathering the fragments and lifting them up to God. But what happens when we don't hear back from him? I'll never forget that passage in Scripture, Matthew chapter 15. The Bible says there's a Canaanite lady that's following Jesus, crying out on behalf of her daughter. And the Bible says, but Jesus answered not a word. When I was a teacher, the students would come up and annoy me to death. They would come up, Mr. Warfield, can we do this? Can we do this? And I'm still grading papers. Mr. Warfield, can we do this? Can we do this? Can we go out? Can we do this? And I'm grading papers. So then you raise your voice a little bit. Mr. Warfield, can we? And I said, I heard you. I heard you. But look at the lesson in this. If we judged the actions, you would think that they didn't hear. God is saying, sometimes you're going to ask me things and you're not going to get a reaction right away. You'll ask again with no reaction and you'll think that I didn't hear, but God says, I hear you. Read that with me. I hear you. My response may not have happened when you wanted it. All of us have gone through that experience in our lives when the response doesn't happen how we want it to happen. It doesn't come when we want it to happen. But you must know today that despite all of that, God has heard your prayer. Someone in this room has been praying about something. I know you have. Someone in here has been praying about something. And you feel that you just cannot get God's attention, but God has heard you. The devil, as he does all the time, brings up your past, brings up your failures and your frailties. He whispers that God does not love you and he can't hear you. But God is sending his message to you this morning saying, I heard you. I know that your bill is past due. I know that your mother is still in the hospital. I know that your child is still out there in the world. And even though you do not see me respond, know that I heard you. Someone in here who's been praying for a miracle, your family may be in turmoil right as we sit here today. Maybe you're almost at your wit's end. Know that God has heard you. If your mother hasn't heard you, if your father hasn't heard you, your children may not have heard you. Someone on Facebook may not have heard you. Maybe the bank, someone didn't hear you, but God says to you today that he hears you. Your relationship, I submit to you, must be so strong that you become confident that if you asked him for it and it was for your good, that he would have given it to you right then and right there. What we have to remember is that as children of God, God is on our side. You can't pray to win his favor. You can't pray to have more points from him, but you must pray in his favor boldly as a child of God. Know that you have been covered by his grace. And if it were good for you, then he would have moved that thing out of your life. He would have given it to you. How many of you remember the prayer of Paul? Three times he prayed, "Take this thorn from my flesh." You remember that prayer? And he cried out to God, "Lord, remove this hurt from me." And God's response is that my grace is sufficient for you. He, in essence, was saying, if it were better for me to take it from you, or rather, if it were better for you, it's better for you for me not to take it from you. I get more glory out of your life as you're going through this particular thing. I'm allowing it to stay for a purpose and for a reason. Paul says, therefore, we glory in tribulation. Sometimes God doesn't do what we think he ought to do, and when we think he ought to do. And through life, God teaches us how to understand his voice inside of the silence. Sometimes God does not say anything. Anybody ever prayed and God says nothing whatsoever? And in those times, we have to remember that God is a teacher. They called him Rabbi on earth. When God is silent, no matter what's going on in your life, he's always teaching us. Through parables and situations, through life experiences, God is teaching us that whatever he takes you through, whenever he takes you through something, there's a lesson for you to learn. Sometimes you ask God to take you out of a situation right when you're about to hit the end of the class. Yes. So we must remember, we're still in school. How else will we learn how to wait? How else will we learn how to be patient? How else will we learn how to trust in God? When we can't see any way out, we must trust in God.
Amen.
And trust doesn't always have to explain itself. As we close, we ought to thank him. Yes, as we close, we ought to thank him for the grace to go through that which he permits us to go through. Thank him for the grace to endure the trial that he permits us to go through. You thought and you know in and of itself and of yourself you would go crazy, but thank God for holding your mind together as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You thought that you could not take that trial, but praise God that he gave you the strength to take it, his grace. So when you're going through the test, the thing you must know is that God has heard you. God has heard you. You could stop having the tantrum. God never listens. God doesn't care about me. Stop having those tantrums. Stop being nervous, getting on him to try to make him do something it's not time for him to do. It's not right for him to do. The Bible says that they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And his word to you is when the time is right, he will deliver it. It may not come when you want it, but it always comes right on time. Though the vision may tarry, Bible says, wait for it. When God is ready to give you that thing and that blessing, nothing in this world can stop. And remember, he was freeing Paul and Silas from prison. And that angel came down and the earthquake shook and the gate opened up. Whenever God is ready, nothing will stop him from giving you that blessing. God is on your side. And so in the meantime, Know that he has heard you and wait on him. The Bible says this is the confidence we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Amen. Know with confidence today that God has heard you. Who believes God's word today? Someone may have been discouraged, and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and you see nothing happen. And you cry out in the middle of the night, nothing happens. God heard you. God heard you. You've been praying over your marriage for months and years, praying over a sickness of a loved one, a trial or a tribulation, or maybe you're just carrying something that nobody else knows you're carrying. God says to you today, I heard you. I've heard you. Be comforted in that. I have heard you. Just want to give one appeal. I want to give anyone, everyone an opportunity. Someone may want to be like Rachel, who took a bus all the way down from New York. Late last night, came in, said, nothing will stop me from giving my life to Christ. And she was baptized today. There may be someone here today. Yes, praise God. There may be someone in here today who wants to give, was just waiting for an opportunity to give their life to Jesus. A few weeks back, we didn't have an appeal, and somebody met me in the lobby and said, I want to join this church. So I want to just extend the doors to give an opportunity. Anyone under the sound of my voice, man, woman, boy, or girl, who says, I want to give my life to Jesus today. I love him. And I just want to be saved in his kingdom when he comes. If that's your desire, I invite you to just wave your hand where you are. We'll have the up top. God bless you. We'll have the clerks come to you. Clerks, keep your eyes open. If you want to just give your life to Jesus, you don't have to come down. Just raise your hand in the air. If you want to recommit your life to God today, there's a sister here. Where are my clerks? Where are my clerks? There's one. A sister over here. Raise it high. Let God see right over here. God bless you. We got a sister over here as well. God bless you. Keep your hands raised. Let me have Pastor Fabian. Where's Fabian? Come on in and grab the names of these new kingdom brothers and sisters. Anyone else want to give your life to Jesus today? I'll extend just a few more moments. Anybody under the sound of my voice, dear sister right over, she'll have her hand raised. Want to say, Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. Just raise your hand where you are. God bless you. God bless you. We have our sister over here as well. Just fill out the form. We'll reach out to you this week. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's so awesome to see people. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. God bless you. One up in the balcony. Brother O'Neill, come on up if you can. Get my sister's name. This is the... It's an awesome time. Let's get it ready. Come on up the steps. Raise your hand, sister. We're coming to you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else want to give their life to Jesus? What an awesome thing. Giving anybody else want to give their life to Jesus this morning? Life is hard. Life is hard, but I tell you, it's all the more easy if Jesus is in the boat with you. We have a hand, my little brother right here. God bless you. Just grabbing everybody I can. Sister Romani, grab this little young man. Last week, we had 7 young people give their lives to Jesus. We got another one joining in the ranks. God bless you. Is there another? Raise your hand. Is there another? Maybe after church. There's another in the back. Raise it high so we can see. Maybe that's the thing. We shouldn't call you up. We should just have you raise your hand. Raise it high. Fabian's coming to you. We'll take your name. Join in the church. God bless you. And those who will be in the lobby immediately after service. Come to us. We'll sign the form. All who are willing are welcome to join the family of God. Amen? Amen. I think I see, is that a little hand over here as well? There's a little hand. Come on, see these little hands. Sister Romania, grab that little hand back there as well. As she goes back, let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you hear us. Thank you, Jesus, that you hear us. Thank you for these souls who have given their lives to you today. What better choice could they make than to give their lives to Jesus? And thank you for Rachel, Lord. We know you've honored her desire today. May she go back to New York and turn the city upside down for your kingdom. Thank you for your word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless each one of you.